Tomek, if you wouldn't mind, please give us an introduction into Conrad, and then you and Audrey and Nemo can lead us into an initial conversation with him.
Thank you, Amit. So I'll give you a little bit of my personal introduction, and then I'll also tell you a little bit more formally about Conrad. So a couple of years back, when we started the comments feature in Awaken, I started noticing that there was this person who would comment pretty much every week. And I even got a request from this person that, hey, you know, when you send, we started sending these pre-invite comment messages. And he said, well, it'd be really nice if you can send it soon enough. Like, if you can send it by Friday, then I'll get a chance to respond. And this person was Conrad. And so that's how we set our routine to send it out by Thursday night so that Conrad could sign in, and it's become our standard operating procedure now. And so we owe that, you know, that motivation to Conrad. And every week his comments have been so full of heart and soul and love. So I've been personally very inspired just reading them. But what really surprised me was when we told people about Conrad, how many people came up to us and said, oh, you know, when I read the Awakened passage, the first thing I do is I read Conrad's reflection, and then I start to understand what the passage is about. And it's unbelievable that so many people came up to us and shared that. So it really amazed me, and I think it doubled my gratitude for him. So we share a little bit about his life. So he has been a lifelong student. He did his high school in Illinois. He got his bachelor's degree from St. Mary's in Minnesota, his master's from DePaul, and a PhD in philosophy of education in Ohio. And then he did a postgraduate psychology program at the Gestalt Institute in Cleveland. And as if that wasn't enough, he started attending a Zen temple in his 40s. And that has continued to give him insights into his own nature. So he's basically a Zen meditator for over 4 decades. He is the husband of Kay, the father of 4 children, and grandfather to his grandchildren. And in his science research, for long, so many decades, he's held the role of president at Ohio Valley Philosophy of Education Society, and he's also been the chairman of the Bowling Green State University Human Relations Commission. Along the way, he authored 7 books, including Einstein and Zen. Another one was Reopening Einstein's Thought About What Can't Be Learned from Textbooks, Quantum Learning, Beyond Duality. And another book was on education and values. So he's spent his life reflecting on how we learn and how we can improve ourselves in learning. And I was also very fortunate that I've also been a part of a group that Conrad's been championing to help reform education in America. And we would have these meetings where we would reflect on deep questions. And I have to tell you, I have been very inspired by Conrad's leadership in that, because his approach is to get us to focus on the most important essential element, which is discovering ourselves and finding freedom in life. You know, I'm hoping he will share a little bit about his philosophy of education. It's a huge breath of fresh air to see someone who's in the education establishment wanting to change it with a lot of love and wanting to leave behind a free environment, a spirit of inquiry, where we're not told what the right answer is, but we learn how to walk and ask questions of our own. That's the highest tradition of intellectual inquiry in any part of the planet. Every culture is, you know, recognizes this, and Conrad stood for this. So I want to honor that. Now, about a little over a month back, Conrad sent this note to that particular group, which is how we came to know about his condition. And he wrote, and I'm going to read a little gist of that. He said, I was recently in the hospital for a week, first being diagnosed with pneumonia, then being diagnosed with lung cancer. After more tests, we discovered that my lung cancer is not operable, and I have decided to go with the flow and to do nothing other than take each day as it comes along, with painkillers when I need them. Having lost 20 pounds in the last 2 months, I'm now very weak and have low energy. From my point of view, though, I'm accepting everything that comes. Thank you for contributing to the great life I have had and will have for a few more months. Doctors project I will probably be gone by the end of January, and I have no complaints of any kind in my heart. In place of get well cards or phone calls, I would prefer that you continue practicing things as they are. As a Zen Buddhist, I believe we are born and die each moment. I look at myself as a wave in a vast ocean. Eventually, the wave merges into the ocean. My wave is now accelerating a bit faster than usual toward becoming the ocean, but life is sure to reconnect us in the ocean. Can you imagine? This is the note he sent us, and it moved all of us so much that someone who can keep this understanding, and we all study philosophy at different points in our life, but where it really matters is when we are ready to leave. And at that moment, if we could remember the essential truths of life, it means we've arrived somewhere. And I feel like Conrad's a huge ideal, for me at least, that hopefully when my time comes, I will even remember a fraction of these truths. So that is how much he has impacted. And I speak for more than myself. I've heard many other people share the same sentiment, actually. So that is just to set the context of, we felt that we wanted to hear from Conrad and his life lessons that we could learn from. But I also want to share another thing, that what we took up a little secret project in this meantime. We said, let's see. Conrad's been commenting on the Awakened website for a couple of years now. What would happen if he collected all of his comments and put it together? And the result of it, many, many volunteers were involved, and we have put together a little book of wisdom. And whoever's read it so far, we've been blown away by its utter simplicity and its beauty. And I'm going to request Audrey and Nemo, so Conrad doesn't know about this. So right at this moment, I'm going to request that they gift it to him. They actually went last night to FedEx to complete a print job, and there are all sorts of stories of kindness, which I'm sure they'll blog about. So they actually have a physical copy of a book, a draft of the book that they will gift him. And while they're doing that, I want to let the callers know that we will find a way of getting you a copy of a draft copy. We'll release it after a little more editing. But for you to preview and give us comments, we will share it with you in a few days. So, and while they're sharing it with him, I just want to read from that book a few of the reflections that Conrad has had. So one of them is called Breathing. He says, I will be aged, this is February 2013, he says, I will be age 81 in this month. I now think more of death, and that within several years I will no longer be. I don't fear death. Right now I anticipate I will miss life, but death is inevitable and is okay. Thich Nhat Hanh's idea of breathing in peace and breathing out a smile has been helpful to me. I don't seem to invite fears, but I don't push them away. I have learned over the last 20 years to know very little, and that most fears are illusions. Most of what I think and do seems to me to be unconscious. Yet, breathing in peace and exhaling with a smile is often conscious and very worthwhile for me. I want to read some more. Conrad writes, this is a chapter called Knowing. And he says, I love the idea of not knowing. I am almost attached to it. I love to know that I don't know. That too is annoying. Would I be better off if I didn't know that? This one just really resonated with me in so many levels. Each and every one of this is so deep. And there's one which I will read out. This is the last one I'm trying to find. Yeah, here it is. The chapter is called Dying. And it says, as Saint Francis said, seek not so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born. And then end of quote, Conrad continues. He says, it seems that Christ and the Buddha, being highly aware each moment allowed themselves to die and to be reborn each moment. Dying and being born in each moment in the manner of the Buddha and Christ is like being one with everyone and everything. And it is like not dying, because one is so connected to everyone and everything that there is no separate one to die. So with that, I want to start us off asking Conrad to share a few key lessons from his life that he's moved to do at this point, and then I'll have some further questions from that point. So Audrey Nemo, if you can pass it to Conrad, be good.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Conrad, loud and clear.
The key lessons from my life are many. The first is having great parents and brothers and sisters and wife and family. When I think of the first thing that happens in a life, one becomes aware of what the wall or floor or a taste of food, etc. And since the first thing in a life is awareness, which comes before thought, I find that awareness is the key, and it is so much the key that we might say, well, we're aware of this chair for now, but we may notice that the awareness of the chair goes by, so that we can let each awareness come and go. And if it's a stronger awareness, we might need to follow it further and see where it can take us and what where it has taken me is to where St. Francis said, as I mentioned, or Samick mentioned before, that he started out with, may I be an instrument of peace where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is, forget the next one. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Where
injury.
There is injury, pardon. There's doubt, faith, there's despair, joy. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled. Consoled, that is, as to console. For it is in there's pardoning, we are pardoned, where there is dying, we are born
to eternal
life. Thank you. So I have believed much of what Samick said only because wish to continue to be aware. We're born with awareness. You die with awareness. And a little story about that is a boy tugs on his mother's apron and says, "Mom, Mom, where does everything come from?" And the mother says, "Oh, well, it has for long been said that everything comes from dust and goes to dust." And he said, "Well, Mom, I saw dust under my bed. And I don't know whether it's coming or going." Anyway, I'll stop there for questions.
Great.
Okay.
You know what? I thought it might be nice, actually, you know, just to give some of the callers some context as well. Audrey, I know that you and Nemo are there in person with Conrad, and I did think it'd be nice just for all of us to sort of get a sense of what Conrad is like in person, because many of us have just seen his comments online, and this is probably the first time many of us have even heard his voice. And so, you know, sometimes you get a really nice sense of a person when you see them or give them a hug, and so I'd love to hear any reflection there.
Yeah, it's been beautiful. We arrived here maybe an hour and a half ago, and we were warmed at the door by Kay, his beautiful, sweet wife, who's sitting here. And Conrad is sitting here in the couch. There's an oxygen tank next to him that we've turned off for now. But it's been so inspiring just to be in his presence, to see him. You can really see his kind of inner strength shine through. I think we were just, as we were setting up, we were asking him, you know, like, how's your energy? Are you going to be okay reading or talking or listening and different points? And he said, "Don't hold back." And I know it's hard on the phone to kind of maybe hear or visualize everything, but he's smiling wide right now, and his voice might be low, but his spirit is really strong in there. And Nemo, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Oh, if you guys were here, you would just give him a big, huge hug and squeeze him. It's amazing. It's really amazing. A blessing being here with Kay and Conrad. And we're facing a wall that has about 30 different portraits, and they're all of his family, leading to his 11 grandchildren and all the other kids. And on the other part of the wall is the Maumee River, which they've been living in this house for over 40 years, and near Toledo, Ohio. And you can just feel the roots and the seeds they've planted. It's quite a blessing being here in their presence.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for sharing that. It gives us a really sort of warm and fuzzy feeling type of a sense of where you guys are and what it's like to be in his presence. I appreciate that. So I'm excited to jump in like that, but I just thought it might be nice to get a feel for what that's like.
No, I'm really glad you did it. It was beautiful. Thank you. And on that note, I'm just building on this. I'm reading another reflection of Conrad, and I think which is very appropriate. And he writes, the chapter is titled Love, and this was around June 2013, he said, "When one is healthy, one is more likely to love. And when one loves, one is more likely to become more healthy. Love can be a micro moment of positive connection. And I think it can be much more than that. That, quote unquote, more can't be easily said. When one is peaceful, there is a greater chance for one being compassionate and loving. When one is loving and compassionate, there's a greater chance for being peaceful." Love in the sense of compassion for others and self is more than an emotion. I see it as a way of being. So, Conrad, I would invite you to share any reflections on love that you have at this time.
Yeah, I would say love and is related to compassion, which is our noticing, and not only noticing, but moving toward, as you notice, the beyond of the beyond of noticing. And that one might think of as nirvana or being in the present with noticing and warm and kind feelings for everyone and everything. You might notice that I have been involved with Zen for over 23, 25 years, I forget now. And Zen goes to beyond to the beyond, which is not knowing, which helps one be not knowable and provides one warmth, and feeling of the happiness that can come with not knowing. So, I think I'll stop there.
So, this, you mentioned not knowing, and I'm seeing another chapter. This is chapter 15 called Balance. And Conrad writes, I find not knowing to be very helpful in my life to find balance in all matters. It is easier for me to find balance when I cherish not knowing. If I knew, it probably could be said. And I am a firm believer in Lao Tzu's notion that the way that can be said is not the way. So on that note, I wanted to get into your lifelong contributions in the field of education. If you know, we're a whole generation of people, we're going to have children going through the education system. What can we do, or what should we keep in mind as there's a fundamental, essential principle in education for generations to come? What would you share there?
Well, I would share schools generally need a complete transformation in moving their goals from goals from economic concerns for the country or individuals. And I think if we were more aware, we would be able to get the 1% who have us as a plantation, and at least like to see that change. And I just submitted a book about that. A book about that called The 1% Plantation, The 99% and Noticing. And that means if the 99% noticed more, they would influence 1% more. And we would have balance in the not knowing and the knowing. And we would have much more peace in our
much more peace and harmony.
Much more peace and harmony in the world, so that there would be much more peaceful happiness and balance.
And balance.
And what?
And balance. I was just repeating.
Yeah. So, I don't have more to say about that.
Okay. I'm going to continue. So, that is great. So, in education.
Education what?
Yes, in education, another aspect of it is creativity, and I'm going to read out another of Conrad's reflections. It's called Creative, and he writes, "Paradoxically, I practice being myself by not practicing, but rather by being myself with my flaws and warts. Paradoxically, again, being creative is not being creative when one is just being oneself. By that I mean, quote-unquote, trying to be myself, or quote-unquote, trying to be creative, is not being myself and not being creative. If I were myself and creative, I would not need to try. This again relates to the paradox that it takes much effort to move toward effortless living. I am now considered, quote-unquote, an old man, but I find that I am still learning to be myself. Sometimes I extend effort and sometimes I don't. As the old saying goes, sometimes I sits and thinks, and sometimes I just sits." I'll read one more, and then I want to open it up to the audience. This one is chapter 37, and it's the title is Spiritual. And Conrad says, "The topic of essential spirituality means to me that if one is kind, one is spiritual. If one is kind, one is wise. I do not indulge in kindness to others or myself, but I wonder if it would be worth a try. When I realized I know very little, I believe I am spiritual and simultaneously mundane. I have changed to the point where I now think the mundane is often spiritual / divine. Trying to be spiritual may at times cause me to not see that we are already spiritual, even while being mundane. This can be done without trying." And the depth and the humility that he has is unbelievable. I mean, I can feel kindness from every breath of Conrad. It's amazing to read this reflection. So on that note, Amit, do you think we can open it up now for our callers, or should I continue asking questions?
No, absolutely. I think that's a great idea. We can just keep things dynamic. And again, you know, for those of you that are on the call, if you have a question for Conrad, you can ask him by just pushing *6, or, you know, if you just have something that you want to share with him, maybe a note of gratitude or just a reflection on what Conrad has shared or what Somik has read on some of Conrad's past reflections, that would be great as well. So if you want to push *6, you can be entered into the queue, and we'd love to hear from you. And actually, on that note, I was actually thinking about a past reflection that Conrad had made on a Awakened reading by Jiddu Krishnamurti about, you know, I think the article was titled "He Who Accumulates Cannot Learn," and I just feel like it's so appropriate given today's Guru Purnima, so appropriate given Conrad's life as a student, but also as a teacher to so many. And in his quote, or I guess in his comments, He said that, you know, being aware of beauty and understanding is an experience. One way of looking at the difference between accumulating knowledge and learning is to notice that Adolf Hitler and Saddam Hussein accumulated much knowledge. One could also notice that they had not learned. You know, present-day schooling and many university teachings often relate to accumulating knowledge rather than high-quality learning, and it just seems to me that high-quality learning needs a freer, upgraded environment where one can explore what one finds to be remarkable, interesting, and important. And, you know, I hear that, and it just, you know, to me, that is wisdom. Like, here's an individual that has, you know, spent a good deal of his life you know, going through the education system, and he, you know, he reaches a point and he decides, you know what, let me see what more I can really learn. But he decides to do that by going within. And, you know, Conrad, I just wanted to share my own reflection, and that I'm inspired by your life, but more just your adventure to go within yourself. And I appreciate all the shares that you've made, and, I appreciate you really just making an effort to be on this call today, even though as difficult as it may be. And so thank you very much.
And for those of you, could I say something?
Yeah.
All of this I attribute to you, Nippon, because you've started all of this, and I wouldn't have met Samick were it not through you. And Samick has been a very big influence in my life. And one of the things I want to say is just in the last couple of months, maybe 3 months, I was writing something, and he pointed out that adding more kindness to what I was saying would be helpful, so I did, and I thank him very much for it, and thank you again very much.
So all of this he attributes to Nippon and all of you and meeting Somik, and through the Awaken readings a while ago he was writing something, and Somik pointed out that, you know, maybe he could add a bit more on kindness about it.
Yeah.
And so he did, and it felt a lot better. Is that what you...
Yeah, and when you're kind, you're aware.
When you're kind, you are aware.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So, again, to any of you that are on the call, if you have a question or if you just want to share a reflection with Conrad, just go ahead and push *6, and you will be entered into our queue. And, Somik, I want to turn it back to you to see if you had another reflection you could share with us.
Yes, I'm looking at this one. The chapter is called Thinking. And Conrad writes, "There is no question that my thought is limited. I find great joy in thinking about thought. Yesterday I made notes to write about a quote-unquote, a thought too far and quote-unquote, a thought too near. I love to think about change and time, which can't be clearly defined, and I don't know what they are. I love fuzzy thinking. I believe it is possible to evolve beyond personal understanding, but I have not done so. Perhaps if I allowed myself to not think, quote-unquote, more often, I would naturally evolve to that impersonal state of oneness." The depth of this inner conversation is unbelievable. And here is another one called Loving. "There are degrees of development and degrees of love. I believe that if one loves consciously, one simultaneously loves conscientiously, loves concretely, and loves constructively. Whoever heard of destructive loving? When one is loving consciously at one's level of development and accepting what and where one is at that present moment, then one is doing fine at that moment. doing fine, even if the hands aren't as wide open as someone else's hands. No one is perfect. It is fine to extend effort as we move towards effortlessness. But trying too hard to be what you are not, can interfere with opening wide the hands. I'm also going to make a quick, but Amit, just stop me as soon as you get callers. I'm going to make one more comment about his life. So, you know, as you know, most of us are quite young now to not remember the 60s, and or some of us were not born then, the 60s and the 70s. But that was a time of intense upheaval in this country, and the racism movement, the anti-racism movement, really took ground around then. It came to a fruition. And Conrad, from what I've come to know of him, he made a very strong stand against racism. And in fact, he has written extensively about racism in institutions. And one of the reasons, I mean, I just feel like, you know, nowadays we walk in America and even though there's still some problems, but we feel largely free. And it is because of the hard work and the blood of the generations that Conrad comes from. And, you know, in his own unique way, he has contributed to that conversation so that the rest of us can hold our heads up with dignity. That's another thing that I want to, you know, really honor, because these are uncomfortable topics that not many people will actually put their name behind. There are all kinds of fears around it. And Conrad's right up there. He very, very openly challenges racism in our society. And that is something we absolutely need such warriors in society. And he's been one. So I wanted to recognize that.
No, I appreciate that, Samik. Thank you. And again, to those of you that didn't call, if you have a comment that you'd like to make or a question for Conrad, go ahead and push *6, and I'm going to actually go to one of our callers right now.
Has a comment he wants to make.
My mind is going in and out, and it seems that the thought went away. So I will, if I think of it, I'll mention it later. Dealt with.
I think we have a caller, Conrad, so somebody's going to ask you a question.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love that awareness, Conrad, of you just kind of noticing that, you know, my mind is going in and out, but I had a question, but now it's gone. And if I think of it, you know, it'll come up. Just the I don't know, like the, and you're smiling, and just the way that you're just kind of accepting everything with this kind of lightness. It's just really inspiring to sit next to you.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're here.
Oh, I'm glad I'm here too. I'm glad we're here.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm Michelle, are you there on the phone? I know you had a question or a comment for Conrad.
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes. This is such a powerful morning for me listening to Conrad, and thank you so much for sharing. There was something that was said earlier in a reflection that you presented. I actually shared at the beginning and talked about my father and the work that he did in bringing the world together and creating a game. And he worked very strongly in racism. And in fact, I've got 3 adopted siblings of all different races. And we lived in Africa, and we were very much clearly brothers and with my father, with the work that you've done. And a year and a half ago, I was close to the end of my life, I thought, at that time. And now I'm here and looking at what there is for me to do. And I've spent a lot of my life exploring and learning and exploring internally and with other people something that I call transformational global leadership. What is emerging is what is needed for leadership to take humanity through the next phase of its existence. And what there seems to be for me to be doing now is to write a book. And yet, I every day am faced with something that seems related to what was said earlier about the path that can be spoken is not the path.
I love that. That's goes way back in Chinese history, and I think why I'm more attached to Zen Buddhism than other branches is because it takes that statement as a key. So for me, it comes up that it's better to do than to say, and to be aware of that. And that's very helpful.
Yes,
to be aware of.
And the question that I have specifically, sorry for the long-winded intro, is I'm very aware of your presence in that, and yet you have written many books. How do you work those two together? Because I'm struggling with that.
I only write about what I'm interested in and am aware about. Mm-hmm. And I don't do anything with the money I get from books, partly because there's very little, and it's just that I only do it for what I believe. And I'm finding passing in my life, that I have had a great life and will continue to have a great life because I've had a great life.
That's great.
That's like, you know, when you talk about only writing about what you're passionate about or only writing it because you care about it, it's that statement you said earlier about it's better to do than to say. I feel like, you know, you really kind of embody that.
Yeah. And I think if you read my books, you'll see me in them.
It's beautiful. Conrad, I'm going to go to our next caller.
Kay is also saying that you also love to be silly, Con. Maybe you can talk about how you like to be silly.
Well,
Kay is his wife.
I like to be silly in the sense that don't take life too serious. Helps one be aware of what's important to be aware of. And if you take life too serious, then you won't have time to do the things that we're all doing.
So I like to be silly in the sense of not taking life too seriously, because if we take life too seriously, then we don't make time for the things that, you know, that we're meant to be doing, that are important to do.
And my wife may have meant to be still. Is that what you were implying?
You mean to be still?
No, she was talking about
silliness. She was talking about
silliness. That's great. She
loves jokes and kid around with the kids.
Yeah. I wish I had more jokes.
I wish I had more jokes, Conrad says.
That's great. I think, Devin, I think you're there on the line. Do you have a question or comment that you wanted to make?
Yes, thank you, Amit. Conrad, I'm feeling so inspired by your lightheartedness and your positive energy. If I may ask you, have you ever felt anxiety or fear in your life?
Yes, when I was young, in grammar school and high school and college, I used to play basketball, football, and baseball, you know, all three. Before a game, I remember often crossing my heart in the Christian sense of, I hope I get a hit or make a basket or score a goal. And now I find, and I did find this years ago, that I want to be more open than that. And general openness goes along with this. And it's like I'm not silly when I face things like, hey, be generous and helpful. And it's not in my mind praying, but it's kind of like just saying a song to the universe. My view is kind of.
So it's not, so Conrad was just saying about, you know, when he was younger, he would play basketball and football and baseball, and before each game he would say a prayer, like, I hope I get a hit. And over the years, over time, he's now, that was so beautiful the way you put it. It's not so much like praying but that he does, but more just like singing a song to the universe.
Because I believe that the universe and God are one, God and the universe are one, and when you're all one, you like know nothing and you know everything simultaneously, and you're just being in the present, and that's like what helps one get to a more peaceful, joyous place.
So he believes that God and the universe are one, and when we're all one, there's no kind of separation, no distinction. And you can be present.
Yes.
And that's what kind of brings you to a more joyous place.
Yeah.
Thank you, Connor.
Oh, beautiful.
And did I capture that you know everything and you know nothing because universe and God are one?
I would say that's true. And there's still a conflict there because I'm not sure, and that's the not knowing, and I just find my end of where I've come to makes things easier for me.
In the not knowing? Not knowing makes things easier for you?
Yeah, that's true, even though there's paradox here. I know that I, knowing and not knowing, knowing is a paradox, is a paradoxical kind of it's paradoxical.
Yeah. Knowing and not knowing are paradoxical. Yeah, I mean, it's so true. We can know to a certain extent, and then we cannot know to such a another extent, and it's kind of this, you live kind of in that dance of knowing and not knowing.
So true. Connor, I'm going to go to our next caller. Devin, thank you very much for your reflection and questions.
Yeah, Amit, I don't know what else to say than just, send a big smile and Dunga style hugs from here. Thank you all so much, and Audrey, Nemo, Somik, thank you for making us belong to Conrad and his shining spirit. Thank you.
Thank you. And wanted to thank all the callers that have dialed in today for listening and holding space for this. And Conrad, I really can't say thank you enough for all that you've shared with us today. It's interesting. We started out the conversation with the question of, if the doctor told you only had 6 months to live, how would you live? And I really feel like just even throughout the course of this call, you're providing us with that answer, with your spirit, with your wisdom, with the calmness, that we hear. There's a serenity behind everything that you're saying, almost as if, the worries that some might have, just you're able to sort of dissipate or be still with, and that's super inspiring. And the question that actually comes to my mind is not, what if the doctor, and this is a question really to all of us callers that are listening in, what if the doctor told you that you have many years to live? Then how would you live your life? And so I thought maybe that's a question that we can all hold with ourselves. Somik, did you have any sort of last reflections before I wanted to give Conrad one last opportunity to share any final thoughts that he might have?
Yes, I wanted to share with everyone the very last reflection that Conrad shared with us on the Awakened website before his illness. this is the last chapter of the book, and it's called Mystery. And he says, "My experience of the universe leads me to believe the universe is an incomprehensible mystery. As God is an incomprehensible mystery, I see the universe as God," which is what he was sharing earlier. "And that the universe is not only my partner in life, the universe and I are one. In that sense, the universe is my life. One may believe we practice being true to our own necessities by noticing our present experience and accepting it. It, quote unquote, is both the universe and one's experience, since I believe the universe is like a hologram in which my one part includes the entire whole. Most of what I state, I don't know in advance until it comes to me, and in that sense, I know nothing, while at the same time, I know everything I need to know at any given time." So with that deep reflection, I just wanted to offer gratitude to Conrad for his amazing journey and to the person he has become and the teacher he has become for us through his life. And I also wanted to offer gratitude to countless people who made this call possible. I mean, Audrey Nemo, who are literally going to Toledo to help Conrad, and so many other people, people who helped with the book and even printing it. And, even now, I'm sitting in a home where a family, I told them that this is a very special call and I need them to play with my infant daughter. And so they're taking care of her while I'm able to participate. So anyone who hears Conrad's story is we want to be a part of this and we want to join in. So I also wanted to let our listeners know that the book is looking absolutely stunning. We've put in some gorgeous pictures. So
The draft of the book is sitting here in his lap.
Oh, wow, yeah. So I'm pretty sure people will love. I mean, these pictures are so stunning, I can't take my eyes off them. And then on top of that, I read the words and I'm like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. And in the spirit of the gift that Conrad's life is, this book will, of course, be a gift. So there will be no price to it. We will put it up. We'll find ways of distributing it to different channels, but maybe to this audience, it will probably be a link that will go out in a few days once we figure out the best place to put it. So please await that mail. And I'll hand back to Amit. And Conrad, lots of love to you and lots of hugs. This is a very beautiful privilege for all of us to be sharing the space with you.
I wish to thank all of you very much. I can't say how much. I want to also, I didn't make a comment, I have such gratefulness for the book. So thank you so much again, not only for everyone here in the whole group, because you've all done so much. I just appreciate your time and effort and everything you've done. So thank you for asking me to speak. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. And I think with that, perhaps we can all end this call with taking another moment of silence and really just being in gratitude to Conrad for the life lessons that we've learned today and for the teachers in our life. And so a moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you, Conrad. Thank you, Somik, Audrey, Nemo. Thank you very much, Kay. And all of you callers, thank you very much for joining us this week. Really appreciate it. Hope all of you guys have a wonderful weekend, and look forward to having you guys join us on a future Awaken call. Thank you very much.